This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In this last session on personal empowerment, moving from where you are to where you want to be, we have a discussion between Idris Khamisa and Sheikh Sadullah on the resolutions for meaningful living, which encapsulates the action steps necessary for personal empowerment. Idris Khamisa is an international consultant in education and human development. His expertise is in staff development and curriculum design. His creativity made him a dynamic lecturer in didactics and methodology at IPSA, the International Peace University of South Africa. He also conducts in-service training for business corporations. As a parenting expert and a marriage counselor, he conducts workshops on these topics. Youth leadership is another area of his focus. He is a regular guest on national and community radio stations. Sheikh Sadullah Khan is an internationally renowned lecturer and motivational speaker who has presented papers at numerous Islamic and interfaith conferences in various countries, namely Malaysia, Belgium, Nigeria, Egypt, USA, Iran, Botswana, Canada, Sierra Leone, Sri Lanka, Kuwait, Mexico, and Turkey. He is the director of Empower Development International, and as a motivational speaker, he addresses issues of personal empowerment, youth development, leadership training, the art of communication, and is also engaged in fostering both inter- and intra-faith understanding and cooperation.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh Sadullah, continuing our discussion, I want to present to you a scenario, a particular context, and I'm looking forward to your considered response to this particular context that I'm speaking about. We seem to be living in times of tremendous negativity, great stress, devastating anxiety, overwhelming fears, and ever-growing uncertainty. Social, economic, political, and environmental conditions of the world are deteriorating. Injustice, crimes, violence, evil, and injustice abound everywhere. Many feel pessimistic and disheartened. Wars are waged in the interests of multinational corporations and conglomerates in different parts of the world at the expense of the poor and downtrodden. And in the process, thousands of innocent men, women, and children are dying. Millions of refugees are going through most tragic difficulties. Peoples of the world are undergoing the most radical, far-reaching, and challenging transformation in society. The stakes are high. The very survival of life on our planet. Of course, there are options. We could tread the path of either chaos and destruction, or the way of creative transformation, leading to the birth of a new consciousness. Yes, Sheikh Sadullah, what shall we choose to do?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of the Creator, the Cherisher, the Nourisher, the Sustainer of all the world, most compassionate, most merciful. I greet you with the greeting of peace. May the peace, the mercy, and the blessings of Allah be upon each and every one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Indeed, we should choose the path of transformation. Life is not static. Life is movement. And the questions we need to ask ourselves is, each and every one, where are we in life and where are we heading to? Because if we want to know the future, we need to know what we are doing at this moment. Secondly, we need to realize that we have a choice. And the question we need to ask ourselves, that there are two primary choices in life. To be complacent and accept the conditions the way they are, or to accept the responsibility for improving the world we find ourselves in. You see, it's only when we realize and understand that we have a limited time on earth and that we have no way of knowing when the time will be up that we really begin to live each moment of life to its full, as if it is the only one that we have. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, encouraged us, whatever activity you do, if you pray, for example, pray as if it is your last prayer. So keeping that in mind, it is absolutely essential for us to reflect upon where we find ourselves and to know where we are heading. It is fundamentally important to realize that each and everyone needs to value the time that we have. Time is limited. Time is free, but it's priceless. We can use it, but we can't own it. We can spend it, but we can't keep it. And once it's gone, it never returns. The questions are, where are we and where are we heading to? The choice to accept the conditions as they are or to change them. The realization of a limited time and that we need to do something within that space of time.
Sheikh Sadullah, I want to just interrogate your response, and you made some pertinent points, and I want to just go over those points, but I would like you to expand on these points. You rather made a statement when you said life is not static. And what do you mean by that? Can you just expand on that?
Life is movement. The very nature of a life, whether it be plant or animal, is the idea of movement. And anything stagnant is decaying or dead. And the whole notion is that being alive is to be active. The very notion of being non-active, inactive, imply being latent and virtually dead.
The second point, and I think it's critical for us to understand it, and I concur with you, when you ask the question, where are we in life and where we are heading to? It reminds me of a play written by Pinter, The Theatre of the Absurd, in The Birthday Party. And one of his, or rather a member of the audience, asked the question, who is this person? Where is he coming from? And where is he going to? She referred to the persona in the play. Look at his response. He asked the question, who are you? Where are you coming from? And where are you going to? Now, to you, Sheikh Sadullah, why are these questions so fundamental to our existence?
Because it determines the direction which we are going to take. You see, we need to realize that time is life. What we do with our time, what we do with the moment, is what we do with our lives. Minutes move into hours, hours into days, days into weeks, weeks into months, and months into year. And it's seemingly moving faster than ever before. Yet every moment is precious. And it's a precious component of our living. And every moment counts. We are already now in the second decade of the 21st century. And hence, there's a Quranic question that invokes our attention. The Quran says or commands us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسُمْ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. We are commanded in the Quran to carefully consider what we are sending forth for tomorrow. This introspective question should evoke within us a critical self-evaluation in each individual. What am I doing with my today?
Okay, now, so taking rather cue from you, so when you're asking the question, where are we in life? You are seeing it spiritually, morally, in that dimension.
Physically, individually, and socially.
Yeah. Now, why is it, Sheikh Sadullah, you ask people, many people, you find that they accept who they are, they're not prepared to accept change, they're not prepared to take ownership. Why is that so?
Because there is not a determined resolve to do something. In other words, they are complacent with where they are. And if you are and you remain where you are, you'll never become what you could be.
So what you are really saying, there is a need to seize the moment and to make a resolution. The power of intentionality, am I right?
That's very correct. And by the way, we need to understand, define when we say resolution, what we are talking about. A resolution is a commitment that an individual makes to an attitude, a moral task, a personal habit, or a lifestyle change that is advantageous to the self and to others. And these commitments help us to set goals to be achieved. and is a means of self-assessment, of repentance, and of course this demands personal honesty, moral commitment, humility, as well as dedication.
I remember in one of my presentations, Sheikh Sadullah, I said one of the biggest problems in our community is that we do not have personal goals, we do not have goals for the Ummah, neither do we have family goals. And my question to you is this, that to formulate effective resolutions, what are some of the issues we should reflect on?
It's a very pertinent question, Brother Idris, because for a meaningful resolution, there need to be this pre-resolutionary assessment, pre-resolutionary questions to understand what we need to address and what needs to be done. Where am I? Where could I be? Our lives are continually shaped by the choices that we make and the convictions and values that underlie them. In this way, all our lives are like works of art in progress. Never despondent, never pessimistic. Works in progress. We are human, and being human, we are fallible. We can take the material of life and either react to it in a passive way, and in that way, we always remain victims of circumstance. Or we could take the material of life and use it creatively, becoming the architect of one's life and a participant, a full participant in shaping one's destiny and in designing one's true potential.
So, Sheikh, just to reflect on what you have said, and some of the things I think that many people are acutely aware of, the fact that many people today have a victim mentality. They have what I call a blame syndrome, either blaming the family or blaming society as a whole. And it reminds me of something that a patient went to a doctor. Mm-hmm. And the patient went to the doctor. He was quite concerned about his ailment. And the doctor said to him, your problem is hereditary. So he said jokingly to him, okay, send the account to my grandfather. You know, okay. So the whole idea about us blaming others around us. Now, for me, and it's a challenge for you, Sheikh, I know in terms of the audiences you talk to, and I talk to, how can we remove that victim mentality and people say, you know what, I can do something. I can move towards change. I can be the agent of change.
Yeah, we need then to formulate effective resolutions which we need to act upon. Unless we make resolutions which we are able to act upon, even resolutions by themselves are not good enough. And we need to know what we need to ask ourselves in order to know what we need to do. And therefore, we need to reflect on each one of us, what we believe in. What do we really believe in? What excites us? What motivates us? What are we really and genuinely committed to live by and die for? What would make us really happy? What would make us really happy? What are we truly proud of? Or what could we do or aim at that will bring pride and dignity to us?
Okay, what I want to ask you, Sheikh, is that let us interrogate each of those questions. And I want you to share with the people, inshallah, why those questions are critical in terms of what you hope to get out of those questions. What I want to ask you, for example, look at the question, the first question, what excites you? Could you expand that, please?
Certainly, because whatever excites you will attract your interest. And very often we start, even people who are doing spiritual training or trying to enhance themselves spiritually, what they, for example, do, they may do something that someone else does, spend the whole night in prayer, for example, or reading more scripture. But they may not be reading people, or they may be people who like to go sleep early, as an example. So doing that thing may be something temporary and may bring a degree of religiosity to them for that period of time. But it's not something they can connect with, maybe eventually, yes, but initially, no. So what really excites you? Find out what it is that excites you, and if it's wholesome and good, pursue that.
So I also, for example, being an educationist myself, I find that even educators and learners, very few educators seem to understand what is it that excites the child. So they're not prepared to change the methodology. So I think what it also does, perhaps we need to review how we interact with people. We need to find out what is it that will excite them. Because all of us want that excitement. And how can you translate this, for example, in family life?
Certainly, I think we need to have family goals. Very often we are many individuals living separate lives in one house. We are living separate lives under one roof. Of course, each have their own interests and each have their own speciality and each have their own field. But still, we are we are an integral part of a system. We are part of a unit. And this is the point. Sometimes you find people, they have problems with no one else except their own families. So the notion of connecting, and also what connects us, and what are the higher purposes that we are working towards. So I think this is very important, that we find a degree of connection, also a degree of commonality, of higher values, things that transcend us but benefit all of us.
And thank you so much for that. The next question you asked, and I think it's important to unpack this so that people understand, because really the aim of this series is to really transform the listener so that they take ownership. It's about pursuing personal excellence, not to have a victim mentality, say, my gosh, I have only one life and I want to leave a legacy. Inshallah, I pray that these will contribute so that we need to ask the hard questions. So a critical question, and it's a very important question, what are you committed to? Why is that question so vital?
Because it defines the purpose of your existence. What are we really? We are given rehearsed answers. Some of them are religious, some of them may be secular. But what are we really there for? People say success or this, or they may mention certain things, happiness, but they do not know what it is. So we need to realize, what is it we are really living for? What is it we prepare to die for, if needs be, for example? So those commitments that we have, or those things we are committed to, are the values which will underpin and underline what we do and why we do what we do.
So I think if I could make a statement here, I get the impression that many people lack commitment and lack even conviction. And when they have certain beliefs and they commit themselves to it, inshallah, I think it will manifest themselves in change behavior and they will leave a legacy. The other question, I think all of us perhaps are trying to find happiness. Mm-hmm. Now, an important question, what would make you happy?
That's the question we need to ask each one individually, because people want to be happy and they all assume that's why you find soap operas are so popular with people. They assume that what they see on the lives, the glamour, the money, the fame, that will bring them happiness, despite the fact that they know that those people whom they are watching are not even happy themselves. They are very often victims of depression and stress and anxiety, and very often even of suicide. You look at many of the great people, the people who are prominent personalities in that regard. So we need to ask, what is happiness? And happiness is not the pursuit of something external. It's an internal condition. What we refer to in Islam as the notion of qina'ah, what do you find contentment with? If we have that kind of approach, I think the question then is for us to define, and we're not defining happiness right now here, but what would really make us happy? What is it? What is the internal aspect that we would look at, and so on?
Okay, the penultimate question there, what are you proud of?
Yeah, sometimes we're not even proud of ourselves. Now, there's a difference between arrogance and being proud of something. There's a difference, because a child may come home and do something very well and say, Mom, I got an A or in something. That's something to be proud of. Arrogance is to look down upon others, to denigrate others by the process of your goodness or your assumed goodness. So pride is a good thing in that regard. Not kibbutz or arrogance, being proud of something. In other words, what is it you want to achieve? What is it? Could it be generosity? Could it be compassion? Could it be love? Could it be charity? All of these kind of things. What are we proud of? And if we are not doing things that will make us proud, what is it that we can do, and when are we going to do it, to do those kind of things that will make us proud of having done those things or being those things?
I particularly like the last question, and I'll tell you why in a moment. And I would like your response first. What are you most grateful for?
This is very important, because then we learn the importance of appreciation. Because if you cannot appreciate, you cannot value things. In fact, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, made reference to a very beautiful tradition where he said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنْ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ إِنْ أَصَابَتُ سَرَّاءَ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرُ اللَّهِ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتُ ضَرَّاءَ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرُ اللَّهِ. A true believer is a unique situation. There is benefit in any given situation. In a negative situation, he patiently perseveres. And that patient perseverance is good for him. Not necessarily the negative situation, but how he reacts, he or she reacts or responds to that challenge. And on the other hand, he is grateful when there are good things happening. He's joyous and celebratory. And he's grateful. And not the celebration, but being grateful is good for him. So these attitudes are important. That's why you find, for example, the notion of shukr is so central to the Quran. And sabr, or patient perseverance, is half of faith. These put things in perspective. Life is a roller coaster ride. Sometimes there are highs, sometimes there are lows. Whether high or low is still part of one life. We must ensure that we are not moved to negativity irrespective of the condition we find ourselves. And gratefulness, gratitude, is an attitude of gratitude, is very important in truly appreciating what we have.
I'm reminded of what our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and he said words of this effect: when you think of Allah in the time of prosperity, he'll think of you in the time of adversity. And one of the things that I want to root it to a reality, often you find, and I ask this question to many people, what if you had only 12 hours to live? And it's incredible what they'll tell you. Many of them will say, I will show gratitude to my parents, gratitude to my husband or my wife.
I'll give charity.
I'll be less critical. I would ask them for forgiveness. And the point is this, life is very fragile. We are all mortal beings. And you find, I've yet to come across any man or woman, any son or daughter, when his mom or dad passed away or his spouse passes away, when he sits there and he says, my gosh, what was I fighting about? And you only think of the wonderful things. And therefore, I think one of the things that you are encouraging, and we need to encourage, that do not take anything for granted. No matter how little it is, show gratitude, be thankful to Allah, have shukr, inshallah, and persevere, and show sabr and patience in the time of many challenges.
This is very true, Brother Idris. In other words, we need to see how does all of these, our excitement, our commitment, our joy, our sadness, our honor, our gratitude, how does it fit into our larger resolution of life? And we have all these components. Some are negative, some are not so negative. But all of those are part of our lives. How do we use all of those components? Sometimes we have a problem of negativity because people then tend to take a specific negative aspect of their life, and that aspect dominates their whole life. They're angry about something. So everything is dominated by that anger, or they're bitter, or they're hateful towards a spouse that may have divorced them. So they're hateful towards everyone, or every woman, or every man. So we need to look at ourselves and say, whatever situation we find ourselves in, or whatever we're coming out of, what is my role in a troubled world at a difficult time? There's a dire need, therefore, for somewhat of an introspection and an honest evaluation of both our potential and our limitations. We have potential and we have limitations.
So, alhamdulillah. So what you are really saying, that this really requires a willingness on our part to live a highly conscious life.
Exactly, Brother Idris. We need to stop living an unconscious life. Rather live from the very core of your being. An intentional living, a meaningful living, the idea of niyyah, the idea of intention, of purpose, why you do what you do. If we live intentionally, our lives will become purposeful. If we live purposefully, our life becomes meaningful. And to actualize any of the resolutions we want to make in life, one has to be ready to ask, am I ready to discover my personal mission, to pursue my purpose, to realize my vision? Am I ready to break away from the shackles of the past and to chart a positive future for myself and for the world? Am I ready to rise above the limitations of where I am to the potential of where I could be?
So in other words, if I understand what you are saying, is there's a need for a person to be acutely aware of where he is and ask the question, is he fulfilling life's purpose? I'm reminded of a Russian philosopher who once said something, and alhamdulillah, whenever you find some pearls of wisdom from the West, it often has parallel or its roots in Islam. When he said something, it seems so commonsensical. He said that when you're having a shower, focus on the shower. Mm-hmm. When you're eating, focus on the meal. When you're interacting with someone, focus on that person. When you are driving, focus on the drive. And he said, when you are praying, focus on the prayer. And I remember sharing this with a very dear friend of mine. And he said, Idris, I tried that. And I suddenly found even the 2 minutes I spent with my friend, it was meaningful. There was purpose. There was understanding. Now, how would you relate that to the Islamic principles about be conscious, whatever you do with people, when you're talking to Allah, when you're talking to people, when you're focusing on an ambition or any particular thing?
The important thing is to engage the moment. Engage the moment. The moment is all you really have. The past is the past. The future may come. You may be there, may not be there. The reality is the moment. Seize the moment. Too many of us are living in the past, And too many of us are looking so far into the future that we're missing the moment. Many of us, by the way, are going forward in life, but looking in the rearview mirror. And that's why it's holding us back. The important thing in Islam, therefore, that you mentioned Idris, Brother Idris, the notion of intention. It's a perfect one. It's a very ideal one. The idea of intention is that whatever you do, there's a purpose. You have a choice. When you make a niyyah, it means you have a choice to do something or not to do it. And that intention, that purpose, gives you a focus. If I'm going to fast, I make intention for fasting or the niyyah for fasting. Why? God knows I'm going to fast. I'm not doing the intention to remind God. It's to remind myself I'm engaging in a particular activity at this particular moment. There are certain obligations and duties upon me. In other words, the focus is such that I appreciate that particular act in that particular moment with all its dimension and all its reality. And that way, we are really living. It's no use doing something absent-mindedly. It's no use doing something without focus. Otherwise, you're not really there. What are you really then? You are somewhere else. Many people, you speak to them, how are you? And they're, I'm fine, alhamdulillah. They're not even answering your question. It's purely courtesy. But they're not even focusing on what they're doing. And it applies to most of their life. That's why they read, while they're eating dinner, they're reading the paper or they're watching TV. Some of us are so unfocused, we can't even come into the house without putting in the radio or the TV. Why? We can't be with ourselves. We are afraid to even think of our own thoughts or allow our thoughts to speak to us. So focus, engage the moment.
One of the things that you mentioned is the power of now. These are very, very an important thing. And one of the things that we also need to speak about, you know, the idea, are you saying, for example, that you need to look at, in other words, that every individual should sincerely evaluate their place and the potential role in the larger society and scheme of things?
I fully agree, Brother Idris. You know, we need to recognize the purpose of our existence and realize the value of what we could do and what we could offer. No person is insignificant and no good deed is too small. You know, there's a story of a young boy some time ago in a Durban beach. Some of the fish beached themselves, maybe either due to a wave or something, a large wave. And the wave went back and the fish could not go back in the water. And a whole school of fish was virtually deposited on the beach. And this young boy was taking the fish. There were millions of them. And he was taking one, throwing it back, taking one, throwing it back. And then an uncle walked by and he said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "Sir, I'm saving the fish." And the uncle said, "Are you crazy, my son? There's so many millions of them." And the boy picked up one more fish. He said, "Uncle, it'll make a difference to this one." And he threw it back. From that we get the philosophy. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you have to do everything. And just because you can't do everything does not mean you must not do anything. The principle should be, do the best you can with what you have from where you are. Do all the good you can, as long as you can, as much as you can, wherever you can, to the best of your ability. So every little counts. The desert may be vast, but it's constituted of tiny grains of sand. No desert. We may be a drop in the ocean, but the ocean would be less without the drop. And every drop counts. If every drop was to be removed, there'd be no ocean either.
So, Sheikh Sadullah, do you get the impression from your own travels that many people today are too self-effacing? They think low of themselves, they diminish themselves, and they feel they have no value and they cannot give value to other people. Do you think that is also happening?
It's very common. That's why there's such a high level of low self-esteem, and depression, and people feel worthless. And part of the problem, which we may need to address at some other time, is relationship. That if your own don't value you, you begin to believe that you are not valuable. That's why husbands and wives, parents and children, the importance of valuing is so, so important. And that's why in Islam you find the emphasis, you know, caring for others is one thing, caring for your own is double the reward. The idea of it begins in the house. But beyond that, many people have this negative impression of themselves. And by the way, we are Ahsani Taqweem, the best of God's creation. We are, Allah says, Karamna Bani Adam, Allah has honored the progeny of Adam. Every progeny of Adam, the best of those who are righteous and good and God-fearing and believing. But by virtue of being human being, whoever they may be, wherever they may be, there's something good about them, you see. And we need to realize that irrespective of who we are here for a purpose. It may not be as It may not be, we may not grab the headlines. We may not be in the papers. We may be in the movies. But whatever we can do, Idris, you look at your life, you look at my life. We are now presenting things internationally to people in all parts of the world. Over 20 countries we have spoken in that. How many of the teachers, there are people whom I know that no one else knows, if it wasn't for them, a small act they did as motivation on their part, that we would be here today. How many people know your dad, for example, and how much he inspired you that you are today where you are? So sometimes it's not Idris Khamis may become a great motivational speaker and people may give accolades to him, but God knows that some person played a role somewhere along that life. Had that person not been there, there would be no Idris Khamis. So this is very, very important. Muhammad Ali became a great boxer, the greatest sports personality. Someone stole his bike. He went to someone to complain, who advised him to go and go to boxing. And when you get the guy, you can beat him up. That motivated him. I don't know the name of the man. I never remembered it, but I know Muhammad Ali. But had he not gone to that man, so we have a role to play. And God knows. It may not be acknowledged by others, but you know what you did, and Allah knows what you did.
Sheikh Sadullah, from what you've been telling me, alhamdulillah, I've been reflecting on many, many things. And often educators sometimes diminish themselves and they feel they don't have the power to effect change, behavioral change. And someone told me once that an educator is not a sage on the stage, but a guide on the side. I remember last year when I went for a conference in Toronto, I heard this wonderful story, a very poignant story, narrated by Habib al-Jafri, when he spoke about his own life as a young student. He was with his sheikh or his teacher at a conference and he was leaving the conference. But one of the sheikh's students noticed him and he was so excited to see him. And the driver stopped the car and the student opened the door and he hugged the teacher and closed the door. And immediately he wanted to ask him a question. The driver, out of the goodness of his heart, lowered the window. He asked him a question and the sheikh, in his own courteous way, responded. And he went. Immediately the sheikh told Habib al-Jafri that my finger is stuck in the door. Habib al-Jafri got so excited. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me earlier? He said, no, that student who hugged me or came to see me is very beloved of me. If he knew that it was his act that jammed my finger, it would have been too heavy a burden for him to bear. Now, and Habib al-Jafri analyzed the story. He says pain is a natural thing when your finger is stuck. Your natural reaction is say, ouch. But yet, they were so concerned and sensitive about other people's feelings, they were prepared to sublimate that. And Sheikh, I'm sure you can expand on that story also.
You have an example in the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, where one day someone was sitting in front of him and giving grapes to the Prophet. So he put grapes in the Prophet's mouth, and the Prophet seemed smiling, and the Prophet smiled at him. And he took another grape, and he put it in the Prophet's mouth, and he smiled, and the Prophet smiled at him. Then he put the third one, and he put it in the Prophet's mouth, the Prophet ate it and smiled. But the Prophet took a bit longer this time to chew the grape. So this companion then took one grape and put it in his mouth. And he immediately spat it up. He spat it out because it was very bitter or sour. And he said, oh, Prophet of Allah, this is terrible grapes. Did all of them taste bitter like this? He said, each and every one of them. He said, why didn't you say? He said, I saw you smiling when you fed me. And I don't want to hurt you. So I rather to the bitterness, but I don't want to disappoint you. So this shows how these people were people of excellence. There were people, you know, who manifested the example of excellence.
So it's very important for us to show sensitivity. And I'm reminded what our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that it's far worse to break the heart of a believer than the Kaaba. When I came across that, I got so emotional. The Kaaba is so central to the excitement, the emotional response to it. So my question to you, then are you in essence saying that we should strive for perfection?
No. There is a fundamental reality that we have to acknowledge. And that is that no human being is perfect or would ever be perfect. But every single one is definitely a work in progress. We need to commit ourselves to excellence in everything we do, the idea of ihsan or itqan. But do not seek perfection and have the wisdom to know the difference between perfection and excellence. The quest for excellence is not a quest for perfection, for only Allah is perfect. The quest for excellence is actually a willingness and a determination to maximize the potential which Allah has granted to each one of us, in spite of our weaknesses and limitations. Therefore, wise are the words of the ones who said, a person would do nothing if he waited until he would do it so well that no one could find fault with it. Remember that excellence can be attained by man, by human being, while perfection is the domain of the divine. So there's nothing wrong with making a mistake. We are human. To err is human. كُلُّ ابْنِ آدَمَ خَطَّاءٌ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. All human beings err, they make mistakes. They make fault. And the best of those who err or make fault are those who rectify it and who turn away from it and repent. So we learn from these. There's nothing wrong with making mistakes, provided that we learn from errors and setbacks, so that our past serve as a lesson for us to get better and wiser each day. We look at, for example, I mentioned the story of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and you mentioned about Shaykh Habib Ali Al-Jifri, may Allah be pleased with him. We should never let the obstacles in our path prevent us from reaching our destination. Prophet Joseph, Yusuf alayhi salam, peace be upon him, was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, went through tremendous trials and tribulations, but eventually reached a position of great honor, religiously, financially, and politically. Despite the dishonorable things that were done to him by those who were supposed to be closest to him and dearest to him, Prophet Yusuf, Joseph, peace be upon him, like all the emissaries of the divine, lived meaningful lives and remained models of excellence. So what we are pursuing, Brother Idris, is the pursuit of excellence, not the aim for perfection. For excellence can be attained. Perfection is a domain of the divine.
Alhamdulillah, I think it's very important to consider what you have said. But when you look at the context in today's society, what I find around us is this whole essence of mediocrity. There is no excellence, pursuing excellence as it were. And why do you think it is so? Why do you think that we are prepared in essence to do something anyhow, slip short? It's not about looking at the aesthetics. It's not about presentation anymore. And that was not the legacy of Islam.
No, that's not the legacy. In fact, we have a principle. Inna Allah kataba al-ihsana ala kulli shay. Surely Allah has prescribed excellence and goodness in everything you do, because the consequence of what you do, whatever you do, has a consequence. And the Quran says, hal jaza'u al-ihsan illa al-ihsan. Can the consequence of excellence be anything but goodness? Or can the consequence of goodness be anything but good? So the notion of excellence is the fundamental. In fact, there's another tradition of the Prophet. Inna Allah yuhibbu idha amal ahadukum amalan ay yutqina. Allah loves if you do something, you do it with excellence. So not mediocrity. Do the best you can with what you have from where you are. And no, Allah places no burden upon you more than you can bear. But He expects you to do what you can with the full potential that He has given you.
Alhamdulillah. So what you are saying in essence is that for us to grow and evolve, we have to really heighten our awareness and enhance our perspectives.
Certainly. I mean, otherwise we remain. If you keep doing what you always did, you'll keep getting what you always got. So meaningful living comes from honoring each moment and making every action count. Do what you can to the best of your ability. It is a tiny shift in perception that assigns meaning and importance to each moment. Otherwise, every moment is like every other moment. It means stopping to notice the beauty and the loved around us and within us. It means being fully present in each moment, seizing the moment, engaging the moment, because only the present moment truly exists. So many of us worry about the future, and so many of us hold regrets about the past that we completely ignore the present. When we give the now our full attention, even mundane tasks, as you mentioned early on, can take on an aura of significance. It is then that our lives become millions of meaningful moments, and we learn to value the prophetic advice to live in this world as if you are a passerby. You know, when you go and visit Idris, any country. I lived in California for some time, or in Southern California. People come there, they want to go to Disney Studio, they want to go. They have so many places, San Diego, they want to go to see the Water World. Why are they visitors? I never went to Water World up till now. I lived for 11 years. I'll go tomorrow. But those who come as visitors, they want to do everything because they realize كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل. The prophet said, be in the world as if you are a passerby or a traveler. So in other words, you have that moment. We are, you know, we do not know how long we have to live. So if we live each moment and fully appreciate each moment, and change our perspective from taking every moment as just another moment, rather take it as an opportunity for goodness. The Prophet made a dua. Allahumma ja'al al-hayata ziyadatan lana fi kulli khair. Oh Allah, let every moment in life be an opportunity for increased goodness. Let every moment of life be an opportunity for increased goodness. And it can only be increased goodness if we purposefully live, intentionally live, and do the best we can for that moment, in that moment.
Yeah. So alhamdulillah, I think that one of the things that you are really mentioning, that we must not become obsessed with things, obsessed with the material at the expense of the spiritual. And there's a story that I want to share with you. It's a very powerful story. The story of an emperor. I'm not too sure the Chinese emperor or the Japanese emperor, perhaps the Chinese emperor. And he had a very loyal servant. And so he wanted to give him something back for his loyalty. And he said to him, this horse of mine, I want you to ride it. And until you decide when the horse should stop, whatever land you traverse is yours. And they say this person was riding the horse. When he felt pangs of hunger, he said, no, I want to continue because I want more land. When he became night, he said, I want to continue throughout the night. And he went on and on that way. And the sight in the end is him dying on the horse. Now, if you look at that particular story, it's about us having, as you are saying earlier on, perspectives, having a kind of balanced attitude also, so that we begin to focus on things that are really meaningful and not chase after things and worry, concern yourself so much about the future that you forget to translate the now into a meaningful place.
Jalaluddin Rumi puts it beautifully. Engage the world. In Islam, we have the philosophy, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, grant us the best in this world and the best in the hereafter. But in the process, let's not end up in the fire. Save us from that which will take us to the fire. Jalaluddin Rumi said, this world is very essential. Life is like a journey. We are on the boat. And the rivers, the water is the world. You need the world, otherwise you cannot exist at this mundane level of existence. You know, of course, it's a greater reality, greater existence beyond this existence. But we are in this world for this period of time, and this life is a test. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. This is a test for us. But we need to keep the boat, our living, on the water. If you take too much of the water, you cannot move without the water. But if you take too much of that water into the boat will sink. Some of us sink because of the excessive engagement or focus on materialism. So we need the world. We need to ride on the world, ride the waves of the world, the ups and downs of the world. But don't let it become the world become, you know, Akbar Hammina, the most important aspect. This is only a transitory period for us. And we are part of, we must contribute to the larger picture of this world.
So, Sheikh, what you are really saying is that each individual is important and each life contributes to the larger society, or the story rather.
Of course, though our lives are but footnotes on the pages of history. Each life is a footnote on the page of history, but each has his or her own life, and each life is a unique story. Sometimes we enter into each other's lives and become a temporary part or a permanent part of each other's stories. But all our lives are but part of that, as you said, the larger story. And the fundamental question remains, how do we contribute to the larger story? You know, a companion of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, when going to sleep, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظْرِ الْمَسَاءِ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظْرِ الصَّبَاحِ. When you go to sleep, do not assume that you will wake up to see the dawn. And when you wake up in the morning, do not assume you will live to see the sunset. Take precaution from your health against sickness, and take from your life what will benefit you in death and afterlife. In other words, seize the moment, do the best we can, and realize that we have a responsibility to make a positive contribution at whatever level we find ourselves in.
So, Sheikh, are we in essence aiming for positive living in a seemingly negative world?
I think part of reality is to hope for the best, but always be prepared for the worst. You know, neither is the world bad nor our times bad. Imam Shafi'i put it very beautifully. Na'ibu zamanana wa la'ibu fina wa laysa li zamanina 'aybun siwana. We blame the time. The times are not bad. Times are not bad at all, except the wrong that we commit in time. So if we change and we improve, if we do good, if we do right, the times will be good, the world will be good. It is also fundamental to realize that there is a Native American saying, realizing about the world. He said, it's a super conscious philosophy that they have, which says that we do not so much inherit the world from our forefathers as much as we are borrowing it from our children. We do not so much inherit the world from our forefathers as much as we are borrowing it from our children. So we need to realize that, yes, a seemingly negative world. The experience of life shows that those who befriend you may betray you. Those who benefit you may belittle you. Those whom you fight for may forsake you. Those whom you favor may forget you. Those whom you assist may abandon you. Those whom you elevate may even humiliate you. But indeed, we live in a cynical world like that, where the good you do may be minimized and the errors you do could be magnified. But that is the very world that we need to make into a better place. And we need to take comfort in the words of one of the great philanthropists of the world, Mother Teresa, who advised and popularized the following saying. She said, give the world the best you have, it may never be enough. Give the world your best anyway, because in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. You find that Sayyidina Ali, karramallahu wajhah, the companion of the Prophet, Imam Ali said, make yourself the standard between yourself and others. Make yourself the standard of the time. If times are bad, don't you become bad. If the environment is bad, don't you become bad. You be an agent for good. You be an agent of ihsan, of goodness and of excellence. And two examples I can give in this regard. One is of a great Sufi by the name of Bayezid al-Bustami. One day he was speaking to a group of students, and one of the people in the audience became very argumentative with him. And the sheikh responded to this person with great dignity and respect. After the class, one of the students asked Sheikh, you treated him like a gentleman and he was so vulgar and rude towards you? And the Sheikh responded, I treated him like a gentleman, not because he was one, but because I am one. This is very important that we become the standard. A similar incident or a similar vein is the life story of Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, peace be upon him, where on an occasion he was insulted by some passers-by. And he was saying kind words to them and praying for them. And his disciples said, Master, they are cursing you and saying hateful things towards you, and you are praying for them and saying kind words to them. And he said, they give what they have to offer, and I give what I have to offer. The question for us here, Brother Idris, what is it that I can offer? If I have not been offering it, can I do so? Can I make a resolution to do so? So as fallible human beings with limitations, there is yet a potential to do remarkable things, if and only if there is a firm resolve on our parts to do so. So let each one of us therefore make a resolution, a concerted revolution, to be the best that he or she can be. And that resolution could be a stepping stone towards an improved self and hopefully towards a better world.
Jazakumullah, Sheikh. I think it's very, very profound sharing with us your wisdom, your understanding of Islam and life. And just, Sheikh, just to summarize what you have said, I've gleaned many, many points, and I think it's important for us to reflect on it, but more importantly, to act upon it. You initially spoke about the fact that life is not static, it's ongoing, there's a movement there, and therefore there needs to be dynamism on our part. And we need to ask some very fundamental questions, and questions I would like everyone listening to this CD. Who are you? Where are you coming from? Where are you going to? And also, very importantly, you need to ask certain questions like, what is it that excites you? What are you committed to? What would make you happy? What are you proud of? What are you most grateful for? The whole idea, as you said quite beautifully, about showing gratefulness. The other important thing that you mentioned is to accept responsibility and ownership of your life. It is your life, and we must seize the day. We mustn't have a victim mentality. And again, part of everything is this life is finite, So we've got to value time. And we need to make this world a better place. And of course, you reiterated the power of now. We have no control over tomorrow. The past is gone. But this very moment, we need to act upon our ideals. And also, we need, as human beings, as Muslims or even non-Muslims, to reflect on who you are, what legacy you are leaving behind. And the other two or three critical points you made is the power of intentionality about your own consciousness. And again, we must not pursue mediocrity, but we must pursue excellence. And finally, I think the critical aspect is this, that all of us have something to contribute. We can make a difference. It starts with you. Right now, not tomorrow. Because what I want to share with listeners, it is said that if you do not change within 48 hours after a presentation, it's unlikely you're going to change. It is the small acts of kindness that can make a difference. And indeed, I have no doubt, each one of you can leave a legacy behind. Sheikh Sadullah, Jazakumullah once again for a wonderful, insightful program on life itself. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.